it's good to see you again. You know, you can tell a lot about people by the way they dress. If you see someone with a ring on their hand, this hand over here on the left, what does that tell you?
Married.
Okay, I'm married, that's right. Okay, show your rings, everyone. Okay, they're left hand, okay. All those folks are married. Let's see, what else can we find out? If you see someone with tennis shoes and shorts and a tennis racket, what are they going to do?
Play tennis.
Play tennis. If you see someone with muddy boots with some manure on them.
Jump in my puddle.
Cow person?
No.
Yeah. They may be going out and working in a field somewhere or a pasture, right?
You wear boots on, you jump in my puddle.
Well, you can do that too. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Let's try moving on, okay? You can tell things by looking at how people dress and how they look on the outside. But can you tell if they're a good person? By what they wear? Look like, no, you can't. It's kind of hard to tell if a person's a good person by just looking at them. But there is a way the Bible tells us that a good person, a person who follows Jesus, is trying to love other people. Jesus loved us and he wants us to love other people. And that's how they act, right? You can see how they act. It's not how they dress, but how they act. Now, how do we get love? Do you know you catch love? It's kind of like catching a cold. Someone has to love you, and you learn how to love. Now, who do you think first loved you?
Mom and Dad.
Right, Mama. Good job. Mom and Dad's, right. And God, of course, and grandparents. And there are other people who love you too, aren't there? And we learn how to love because they love us. And they got love from their parents and from God. And they shared it with them. And now they share it with us. And then we're supposed to share it with other people. So we have to help other people catch love so they can love too. Will you pray with me? The echo prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us. By giving us our moms and dads. And other people who love us.
Other people who love us.
Amen.
The reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Here ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. A woman quit work to stay at home and take care of her new baby daughter. Countless hours of peekaboo and other games slowly took their toll. One evening, she smacked her bare toe on the corner of a dresser and, grabbing her foot, sank to the floor. Her husband rushed to her side and asked her where it hurt, and she looked at her husband through her tear-filled eyes and managed to moan, "It's the piggy that ate the roast beef." You like that one? Another mother had three very active boys. One summer evening, she was playing cops and robbers in the backyard after dinner. One of the boys shot his mother and yelled, "Bang, you're dead." She slumped to the ground. When she didn't get up right away, a neighbor ran over to see if she'd been hurt in the fall. And when the neighbor bent over, the overworked mother opened one eye and said, "Shh, don't give me away. It's the only chance I've had to rest all day." It's never been easy to be a mother. Do you think it was any easier for Mary, the mother of Jesus? Life was no picnic for the wife of a carpenter in Nazareth. Scripture tells us that when Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple, their offering was two turtle doves, the offering prescribed for poor families. But there were other children in the family besides Jesus. A houseful, in fact. There were four additional boys and an unknown number of girls. They didn't list their names in the Bible. And then after Jesus' 12th birthday, we don't read any more of Joseph. He probably died young, as did many men back then. Have you ever thought of Mary as a single mom with a house full of children? How did she do it? She never remarried. How did she support them? Maybe this is why Jesus delayed beginning his ministry until he was almost 30. Maybe Mary needed help raising his younger siblings. It was not any easier after Jesus began his ministry. Mary did not understand Jesus' teachings. She better than anyone else knew that he was sent of God, but he didn't talk like the other religious figures in their culture. In fact, many of his teachings were in direct conflict with the conventional wisdom of the time. She and his brothers worried about him. They even asked him to come home. They knew that no good could come from challenging the establishment. And they did well to worry. For soon the establishment struck back. And there hangs her baby boy on a cross. And his mother stood at the foot of the cross. All his disciples had forsaken him, but not his mother. After Jesus' resurrection, Mary began to understand that what he had been teaching, though it was not what she had been taught, was reflective of who his father really was. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, became one of his followers. And there she is today in today's lesson, just before Pentecost, with the disciples awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Acts tells it this way: "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Do you think it was easy being Mary? It's never easy being a mother. Children can baffle you. Jesus baffled Mary. At his birth, she knew he was special. Who could forget the testimony of the shepherds and the wise men? When she and Joseph took Jesus to the temple at age 12, she saw how he amazed the elders and the priests with his answers. He was truly about his father's business. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, she saw him turn water into wine. He was special. She knew that. But she also saw him fail in his attempt to impact the people of his own village. And his teachings disturbed her. Children keep us on the toes, don't they? Asa Sparks tells when he was a Christian education director, he and his wife invited the secretary and her family to their home for dinner. And after dinner, the Sparks' three-year-old Libby climbed up in the secretary's lap and said, "My dad said you stuck your foot in your mouth. How did it taste?" How many of us can tell a story like that? Children seldom misquote us. In fact, they usually repeat word for word what we should not have said. Small children can baffle you and embarrass you. So can teenagers, even adult children. Jesus did not cease being Mary's son simply because he passed 30. She still worried about him as he began his ministry, just like many of you worry about adult children. Children can baffle you, and children can break your heart. You might remember Rita Rudner's great line, "My husband and I are either going to buy a dog or have a child," she said. "We can't decide whether to ruin our carpet or our lives." It broke Mary's heart to see Jesus hanging on the cross. Can't you imagine her weeping with great sobs as she gazed upon his broken body? Her beautiful boy, who would never hurt anybody, hanging there in shame and disgrace like a common criminal, with the blood draining out of his body. How could she make it through this awful tragedy? She would make it through the same way millions have made it through such trials through the centuries. She would lean on the strength of the one who created her son in her womb. Where else does anyone turn at such a time? Children can baffle you. Children can break your heart. And yet, generation after generation, we keep having children. Why? Because children make life worthwhile. They fill our lives with joy. They give our lives meaning and purpose. One author put it like this: the government calculated the cost of raising a child from birth to 18 to be $245,000 for a middle-income family. Talk about sticker shock. That doesn't even touch college tuition. But $245,000 isn't so bad if you break it down. Translates into $13,611 a year, or a mere $37.29 a day. Just over $1.50 an hour. Still, you might think that best financial advice says don't have children if you want to be rich. It's just the opposite. There's no way to put a price tag on feeling a new life move for the first time and seeing the bump of a knee rippling across your skin. Having someone put a baby in your arms and hearing the baby wail and knowing all that matters is that he or she is healthy. Counting all 10 fingers and 10 toes for the very first time. Feeling the warmth of fat cheeks against your cheek. Cupping an entire head in the palm of your hand. Making out daddy or mama from all the cooing and gurgling sounds. What do you get for your $245,000? Naming rights, first, middle, and last. Glimpses of God every day. Giggles under the covers every night. More love than your heart can hold. Butterfly kisses. Endless wonder over rocks, ants, clouds, and warm cookies. A hand to hold, usually covered with jam. A partner for blowing bubbles, flying kites, building sandcastles, and skipping down the sidewalk in the pouring rain. Someone to laugh yourself silly with, no matter what the boss said that day or how your stocks performed that day. For $245,000, you never have to grow up. You get to finger paint, carve pumpkins, and play hide and seek, catch lightning bugs and play with a train set from when you were a kid yourself. You have an excuse to keep reading The Adventures of Piglet and Pooh, going to Disney movies and wishing on stars. You get to frame rainbows, hearts, and flowers under the refrigerator magnets and collect spray-painted noodle reefs for Christmas. Handprints for set and play for Mother's Day and cards with backward letters for Father's Day. For $245,000, there's no greater bang for your buck. You get to be a hero just for retrieving a Frisbee off the garage roof, taking the training wheels off of a bike, removing a sliver, filling the wading pool, coaxing a wad of gum out of bangs, and coaching a baseball team that never wins but always gets treated to ice cream regardless. You get a front row seat to history, to witness the first step, first word, first bra, first date, first time behind the wheel. You get to be immortal. You get another branch added to the family tree. And if you're lucky, a long list of limbs in your obituary called grandchildren. You get an education in psychology, nursing, criminal justice, communications and human sexuality that no college can match. In the eyes of a child, you rank right up there with God. You have the power to heal a boo-boo, scare away monsters under the bed, patch a broken heart, police a slumber party, ground them forever, and love them without limits. So one day they will, like you, love without counting the cost. Children can baffle you and break your heart, but they can bring you great joy as well. Maybe that's why God had children. Certainly we baffle God with our actions, and occasionally we break God's heart, and still God loves us so much that God sent Christ to give his life in our behalf. On this Mother's Day, it would be good if we remembered Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her son baffled her. At least one occasion her heart was broken. But she loved him and stood by him to the end. Why? Because that is what life is all about. Love within the human family. Love within the divine family. Love which comes from the heart of God. Amen. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forevermore. And happy Mother's Day.